Bounce up that weary into your head. Bounce up that. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year, and welcome to the very first Bounce Up That Pantomime. And Budget Cinderella. It's gonna start some of our good listeners. So we've got Very Good Mother played by Andy Duffy. Scram played by Lorraine. And Budget Cinderella. It's gonna start some of our good listeners. So we've got Very Good Mother played by Andy Duffy. Scram played by Lorraine Woolley. King Theobald played by Steve Chapman, my dad. Green Rosemary played by my mum and Chapman. The Lady in Waiting Penelope played by Dawn Hunt. The Queen's Dressmaker Fernando played by Anne Price. Prince Charming played by Marcus Woolley. Prince Charming's best friend, Huri Henry, is played by me. Dandini is also played by myself. Mutton is played by Sarah Lalue. Cinderella is played by Sada Ralph, my co-host. You may have heard on We're Good Chat. Flora and Fauna, the Ugly Sisters, Laura April and Anne Price. And Baroness Hardup is played by Denise Kopack. And the Herald is also played by me. So we'll start at scene one. And scene one is where the fairy godmother and her sidekick Scram. I'm going to introduce the pantomime and tell you what you're going to expect. So, yeah, hope you enjoy it, and I'll see you in the, well, next time. So, yeah, enjoy the show, and I hope you enjoy it, and yeah, I hope you find it quite funny and entertaining. So, yeah, let's go underway. With the fairy godmother entering the scene, followed by Scram.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the show. And just before we start, there are a few things you should know. My name is Gorgeous Gladys, and each time I appear, I want every single person to give a big loud cheer. Can you do that? Let's try it then. That was quite good. Thank you. It made me feel all warm inside. Now I hope you'll all enjoy the show and leave well satisfied.
Scram strutted purposefully into the scene to introduce himself.
Hello, everybody.
I must apologize. This is my cat. He's supposed to be at home, curled up in his basket, or doing something useful, like catching mice, or making a mess in the garden next door.
I'm doing something useful. I've come to help you. You know you can't cope with being a fairy godmother without me to help you.
I manage very well, thank you.
Oh yes, I bet you haven't told these people that you're only an apprentice fairy.
I don't think they need to know that.
They might want to know why all your spells go wrong.
Spelling was my weakest subject at school.
Not a great career move. Becoming a fairy if you can't do spells.
Thanks for your moral support. Well, now that you've ruined the show, you might as well introduce yourself.
Oh, thanks. My name's Scram. I've never known why I'm called Scram. But any time anyone sees me, they shout Scram.
So he never knows whether he's coming or going.
Let's try coming in again. Hello, everybody.
They want you to go.
Oh, no, they don't.
Oh, yes, they do.
Oh, no, they don't.
Anyway, you really aren't needed. Cats don't appear in pantomimes.
Oh, yes, they do.
Oh, no, they don't.
You've never heard of Puss in Boots?
Of course I have. But you haven't got any boots.
Being snooty, are we? Haven't got any boots. So we only have high-class cats on your show. Ones who are... Well... Shod.
You're not needed in the show. If you read this story, you'll find that you aren't even mentioned.
Not needed? Not mentioned? I'm not wanted. You think you could cope without me?
I certainly could.
Very well. We'll see how you get on without me. I bet that, well, before the end of Act One, you'll be begging for my help. She will, you know.
Back now to the theme of this evening's pantomime I was telling you all about. In beautifully constructed rhyme, it's such a warm romantic tale. A really lovely story. And it's all about me.
The fairy godmother pretended to hear a comment from the audience.
No, it's not about Cinderella at all. Oh no. I know that's the name on the show, but the show's got it wrong. DJ Chappers. Don't know whether you have heard of him or not, but he is the one who has put all of this charade together. And he has got the title printed wrong because he was cutting corners and then he couldn't be bothered getting it reprinted. It's supposed to say Gorgeous Gladys. Well, never mind. Let's start with a song.
Scene two. Palace interior. The king comes in to the scene holding a letter and addresses the audience.
Good evening, everybody. Could you make that? Good evening, everybody. Your Majesty, I'm the King of Thee. This is my palace, and you're all sitting in just in case you hadn't noticed. Let's try that again. Good evening, everybody. That's better. Now, I'm very excited this morning. I've just received a very important letter.
Prince Charming comes into the room and interrupts the king.
Father, there you are. What are you up to today?
I'm opening the mail, look.
The king opens up the envelope and takes out a letter and a bus pass.
It's my bus pass.
Oh, that's good. Has it only just arrived? You sent for it weeks ago.
6 months ago. I know. It's terribly inefficient.
Prince Jarin takes the letter from the king and looks at it.
Who's taking so long to send out these things?
Well, actually, it comes from me.
It comes from you?
That's right.
And it's taken 6 months to write yourself and send yourself a bus pass?
Well, I've been very busy. I've been running the country, you know.
But this means that you couldn't find time to write to yourself.
It's dreadful, isn't it?
But you don't need a bus pass. You got the state coach to take you anywhere.
It's very hard to park that state coach. Have you ever tried getting horses to reverse into a parking space? I want to travel on the bus and sit on the top deck and talk to all my friends on my mobile phone, shouting at the top of my voice to let them know exactly where I am. And one other thing, I'm still waiting for my winter fuel allowance. Do you know how much it costs to heat this drafty palace?
You're waiting for winter fuel allowance?
Yes, that's late as well. The winter will be over before I get it.
And who's responsible for sending that out?
Well, it's me again.
You haven't sent yourself your winter fuel allowance.
It's very hard keeping up to date with all this correspondence. Anyway, what are you doing this morning?
I'm planning a holiday. I've decided to go on a cruise.
A cruise? Isn't that for old people?
No. All the best people go on cruises nowadays.
Where are you planning to go on your cruise?
Well, you might be interested in this. Let me introduce a good friend of mine, Dandini.
Dandini waltzes in carrying some travel brochures. Your Highness.
This is Dandini. He's my cruise consultant.
Your Majesty, indeed I am a cruise consultant. Perhaps you are familiar with Dandini Cruises?
No, never heard of them.
We are a well-established family firm on the high street. Nowadays, we also do business online.
I'm pleased to meet you, Mr. Dini. Is that all?
I thought Your Majesty might like to hear about some of our cruises.
No, I wouldn't.
We have the widest range of cruises of any company in the country. We have sea cruises, river cruises, long cruises, short cruises, luxury cruises, cheap cruises, celebrity cruises. We even do bespoke cruises, tailor-made especially for you. You could go to Africa and watch giraffes in your shorts. Now, how a giraffe will get into your shorts, I can't imagine. Or maybe a tiger will be spotted.
No, Mr. Dini, I think you've got that wrong. Tigers are striped. It's leopards that are spotted.
Of course they are, Your Majesty. Oh, you could go to the South Pole and see penguins in your snowshoes.
And how are penguins going to get in my snowshoes?
Very witty, Your Majesty. Then you could go to the Arctic and see the Northern Lights. If they've ever been switched on, there'd be entertainment every evening. They are a pantomime, you know. They are really good, just like the ones on Mount Sethem. You couldn't be invited to sit at the captain's table and have a five-course meal with champagne.
I don't think that's for me.
It would be perfect for you, Father. Ever since you and Mother had me, you've lost your spark and fell out of love. Just imagine, you might rekindle your love for one another. You could play backgammon together, and then you could waltz and foxtrot all through the evening.
That's what I wanted to ask you about. When are you going to find a nice girl to marry? You need to settle down and start a family.
Oh, no, I don't. Marriage is not for me. I don't want to spend my hours trailing round Tesco, searching for bargains and calculating me loyalty points.
Every little helps. Somewhere, maybe just around the corner, the girl of your dreams is waiting for you. I'll tell you what we should do. Throw a party.
Ooh, we had a party a few months ago.
You could have another. We're not a one-party state.
I've got a better idea. We could invite people to go on a cruise, lots of different people to have dinner with, and play board games every day. And one of them might be the girl of my dreams.
I'm not going on a cruise. I get seasick.
Can I suggest an alternative? We also offer a river cruises. The Rhine, the Danube, the Mississippi, the Mekong, and my favourite, the canals in my hometown of Venice. Because I am Venetian, you see. But I have travelled all over the world. I've been across all of the continents. Hence why I am a travel consultant. And why my accent is all jumbled up.
We're not doing that either. I got river thick. Now listen, son. Sensible princes meet nice girls at university. They generally study some useful subjects like art history.
Is art history useful?
Of course it is. For a princess. In a palace, you're surrounded by works of art, by people, by objects and people of astounding beauty. Well, maybe not those over there. Anyway, you can have a party here at the palace. We'll invite all the eligible young ladies. It'll be the event of the year.
And then I can take her on a cruise.
Yes. Then you can take her on a cruise.
Yes!
We're all going on a summer holiday. No more working for a week or two. Fun and laughter on a summer holiday. No more worries for me or you.
Scene 3. The Hardups House. We are now back in the Hardups House. Button enters and introduces himself.
Hello, everybody. I'm called Button.
Button waits for and encourages the audience for a reaction.
Yes, you thought it was buttons, didn't you? Oh, no, this is a cheap version of Cinderella. The costumes department could only afford one button. Only one button.
Button encourages audience to say, aww.
It would have been easier if they'd given me a zip.
Cinderella enters the scene, coming in like at 100 miles an hour. As she's trying to tidy up her thoughts, she gets told off by the Baroness, who, by all accounts, is very mean to her.
And here she is. It's Cinderella.
Hello, everybody. What were you talking about, Button?
Well, I was going to tell the story, Cinders.
Not again.
Of course.
Put on your tin hats, everyone.
It's not that bad. You don't know the story of Cinderella, do you? Oh, no, you don't. Not this version, anyway. So you have to pay attention. We live here with Baroness Hardup and her two ugly daughters. The Baron died recently, and if you see his wife and daughters, you won't be surprised. They'd finish anyone off. So the Baroness is Cinderella's stepmother, and she isn't kind to Cinderella. She ill-treats her all the time.
Mutton encourages the audience to make a sympathetic aww.
Our poor Cinders has to do all the work around here. She cooks, she cleans, she sweeps, she scrubs, she does the laundry, she makes a fire, she works from morning till night and never even gets a word of thanks. And while she's doing all this work, she's studying for a degree. Oh yes, she is. She's studying art history. If you don't believe me, you can ask her.
It's quite true. I once wrote an essay on the Mona Lisa.
Fortunately, no one ever noticed.
My parents used to keep a constable in every room.
Which certainly surprised all the visitors. It must have been a very law-abiding house. Oh, look, the ugly sisters are coming. They are dreadful. And do you know, they think they're really lovely. They're called Flora and Fauna.
Flora and Fauna, the ugly sisters, come into the room, looking down their noses at Cinderella and Button. Fauna holds an ear tie. Flora holds a potato.
Hello, boys and girls. I'm Flora. Isn't that a lovely name? I'm called Flora because I'm so beautiful. I'm like a flower. I'm like a little daffodil with gorgeous yellow hair.
Or a snapdragon or a stinging nettle.
Sometimes more like a rare orchid.
Not rare enough.
And this is Fauna.
Hello, boys and girls. And say hello to Eeyore. I have lots of Eeyores. I have a huge collection of them. 594 and all different colours.
It's the world's finest collection of Eeyores. I have quite a different collection. I collect interesting potatoes.
Everyone waits for her further explanation.
She has the world's largest collection of interesting potatoes.
Yes, I only collect interesting ones. I have one potato shaped like a giraffe and another shaped like a rhinoceros. Look, I have one here.
Oh, you do. That one's shaped like a potato.
Original, isn't it? Do you know, my interesting potatoes take up my whole display cabinet.
My ears fit a whole room.
You probably noticed that we are the most beautiful girls in the whole county.
We regularly win beauty contests.
They went to the county show and they both came back with a rosette saying best in show.
It's quite true.
Which class was it? Oh yes, Aberdeen Angus.
And as well as being beautiful, we also have style. I am the most fashionable lady in the whole country. My dress sense is beyond compare.
I wouldn't know what to compare it with.
Dedicated follower of fashion. And when he does his little rounds round the boutiques of London town.
Button, where's our tea?
It's just coming. What would you like today, ladies?
Two large scones with cream, strawberry and jam.
6 pieces of toast and honey.
Muffins.
Crumpets.
Hot cross buns.
Toasted tea cakes.
Chocolate cake.
Coffee cake.
Carrot cake.
Walnut cake.
Lemon cake.
Orange cake.
Banana cake.
Apple cake.
Battenberg cake.
Swiss roll.
Upside down cake.
Right way up cake.
All washed down with your very best afternoon tea.
And 12 bottles of Coke. Burp.
Right, I'll just ring Tesco and ask them to deliver.
Mutton leaves the room and Baroness comes into the room to talk to the ugly sisters and basically ignore Cinderella.
Good morning, my dears. I hope you're having enough to eat. You don't want to fade away.
A flustered Mutton comes back in with some envelopes, which he hands to the Baroness for her to peruse.
Your Ladyship, the post, it's just arrived.
The Baroness looks through the envelopes, throwing some of them aside without opening them.
Double glazing, satellite television, a new takeaway. Oh, my dears, guess what?
Guess what, Mummy?
I've no idea, Mummy.
Look at the postmark on this one. It's from the palace.
Oh, Mummy,
it's from the palace. How exciting. Can I see it?
Oh, Mummy, can I open the letter? Do let me have it. What do you think it is?
Patience, my dears. This letter is addressed to me.
The Baroness moves forwards dramatically with the letter in hand. Everyone else stands back to watch. The Baroness produces a ridiculously large paper knife and opens the envelope. Everyone assumes an overdramatic posture to listen to what she will say. The Baroness takes a large invitation out of the envelope.
It's addressed to Her Grace, the Baroness Hardup.
Yes.
And the Honourable Miss Flora Hardup.
Yes.
And the Honourable Miss Fauna Hardup.
Yes.
And, well, it also mentions Cinderella.
It's addressed to me too.
No, dear. That must be a mistake.
Cinderella looks upset. She looks at the audience for sympathy.
Aww. What does it say, Mummy?
Is it from the King?
It is from His Royal Highness, the Prince Charming.
When?
When is the ball?
He says you're all invited to a ball at the palace.
Tonight?
It's on the... It's tonight!
I need to find my glamorous dress.
And my prettiest necklace. And my prettiest earrings.
Button, tell the coachman to bring the coach round to the door. Cinderella, you must help Flora and Fauna with their ball gowns.
But stepmother, aren't I invited to the ball too?
Oh, certainly not. What an idea. Why should the prince think of inviting you to the ball?
I thought he was inviting all of us.
So he is. All the important people in the house, not the unimportant people.
Cinderella, you need to stay in and do some work.
You need to clean the fireplace.
And brush the floor.
And vacuum the windows.
And polish the carpets.
And brush the cookery.
And sweep the clothes.
And iron all the plates.
I think we've got some of those the wrong way round.
Too bad. Now come on, let us get ready.
We need to look our most beautiful.
I'm coming.
It's not fair, is it? Poor old Cinderella. Cinderella, she was invited too. She should be getting her best clothes on too, and she should be going to the ball.
I don't have any best clothes, Button. I couldn't go anyway.
Button encourages the audience to say, "Aww."
Aww.
Cinderella, you got back quickly.
They've gone.
What, all three of them? The Baroness and the sisters?
They were in such a hurry, they just rushed straight out to the coach and set off. Well, I suppose I'd better start on all the work. I'll just go and find the brush and dustpan.
Cinderella goes out of the room and comes back with the dustpan and brush.
You don't have to start it right away, Cinders.
No.
We could sit down by the fire, just you and me, and have a nice evening at home. After all, we can have fun without going to the ball.
Could we, Button? Whatever did you have in mind?
Well, we could find the Baroness's best single malt whiskey and have a little party of our own.
Button, do you think we ought? I mean, the Barons will be furious if she finds out.
But she won't find out. What do you think, boys and girls? Do you think we should have some fun while the Baroness and the ugly sisters are out?
Button and Cinderella wait for the audience response. What do you get? What do you boys and girls think? So Button and Cinderella have their own party on their own with the Baroness's whiskey.
I don't think we should. No, really. No, we shouldn't.
There you are. The listeners think we should. Wait here. I'll be back in a moment.
I'll do some sweeping while I'm waiting for Button.
Cinderella starts to sweep and then pauses.
It's got to be done sometime after all.
She carries on sweeping.
I wonder how Flora and Fauna will get on at the ball. I'm sure they'll be looking very beautiful.
Some more sweeping.
I've never been to a ball. I wish I could have gone.
The fairy godmother enters the scene dramatically, with Scrum following behind her, holding her dress.
Cinderella, you should go to the ball.
Cinderella stops sweeping and looks around in surprise, not understanding where the voice is coming from.
Who are you? How did you get in here?
I am the answer to every girl's prayers.
She's very modest.
I'm your fairy godmother. But you can call me Gladys.
Why should I call you Gladys?
Because it's my name.
Oh, I haven't come across anyone called Gladys before.
Well, there you are. You were saying you haven't been to a ball before. So that's two new experiences for you in one day.
And what did you say you were? My grandmother?
Good gracious, no. I'm not a relation of yours. Did you think there was a family resemblance?
Come along. Explain to the poor girl properly, Gladys. Cinderella, she's a fairy. And she's your godmother. That makes her you a fairy godmother.
Oh, I didn't know I had a fairy godmother.
Another new experience. Is there no end to the new things you're learning this evening?
And who are you?
I'm Scram.
Scram, that's a nice name.
Nice name. I don't think it's meant to be.
But who exactly are you?
I'm a cat. You hadn't noticed the whiskers, the fur, my very fine tail.
Oh, yes. You are a very handsome cat. But why are you here as well as Gladys?
I'm Gladys's assistant. She can't do a thing without me.
Oh, yes, I can.
Oh, no, she can't. If I'm not around to help, all her spells go wrong.
Well, I'm still an apprentice fairy. I've only been doing this job for 6 weeks.
Really? What did you do before?
I was a traffic warden.
But she wasn't quite the ticket.
So, I went down to the job centre. And this is what came up. So I had to go to Fairy, Genie, Wizard and Wit College to learn magic. I passed. And I got my certificate. And now I'm here.
You only just passed.
Well, only just or not, I'm sure you'll be excellent, Fairy Godmother, if you ever need a reference.
Don't you think we ought to get a move on? The ball will be over soon.
All right. Keep your fur on. Cinderella, do you have such a thing as a pumpkin?
A pumpkin?
A pumpkin.
I don't know. I'll have to check. Button! Button!
Hello, Cinders. What is it?
Button. Oh, meet Gladys, my fairy godmother.
Hello, Gladys.
Good evening.
Button, do we have a pumpkin?
Button scratches his head, trying to think if they have a pumpkin or not.
No.
Oh, dear. There's always a complication. What could we use instead? How about a large marrow?
A marrow? No.
How about a cauliflower? A cabbage? A lettuce? An artichoke?
Rutton shakes his head at every suggestion.
What's an artichoke?
It's
It doesn't matter what it is if he hasn't got one. How about a swede? A parsnip? A carrot? A baked bean?
I know. Wait a moment.
Mutton rushes off the scene and returns, pushing a wheelbarrow. In the barrow is one potato. Mutton picks up the potato and hands it to the fairy godmother.
Here you are.
A potato!
Potatoes are like gold dust round here. As soon as you buy some, they just disappear. I don't know what happens to them. Do you know where they go?
They never told me at the job centre that it would be like this. No pumpkins. Well, I suppose we can try a potato. Now, can you find some mice? Or some rats?
We don't have any mice or rats in this house.
None? None sort of hanging around anywhere?
You think we could keep mice and rats in the fridge? What about this cat? If anyone can find a mouse, then he can.
Not a chance. He's the most useless mouser there ever was. He's never caught a mouse in his life.
Oh, being rude, are we? Useless mouser. Would I rather be a useless mouser or a hopeless fairy? Anyway, I'm not that sort of cat. I don't waste my leisure hours chasing after rodents. I'm a gourmet chef.
He's not, you know.
Oh, yes, I am. I make the very finest ratatouille. And that's for my lemon mouse.
I think you mean lemon mousse.
Not the way I make it. Lemon mouse. It goes very nicely after moussaka.
Moussaka?
Moussaka.
It's all very well to have these fancy recipes. But can you find any rats or mice now?
No.
Hold on, I have an idea.
Mutton goes off again and returns with one chocolate mouse. He hands it to the fairy godmother.
There you are, Gladys.
Thank you. What needed was four rats to turn into horses and two mice to turn into footmen. And what I've got is one mouse made of chocolate.
Very attractively wrapped.
Very attractively wrapped. Right. Now, the first thing I need to do is to give Cinderella a new dress, a stunningly elegant ball gown. The very best from Hooper's. Cinderella, stand forward.
Cinderella stands forward. But fairy godmother raises her wand.
Abracadabra. Hocus pocus. Open sesame. Hakuna Matata. H2SO4 plus HCl E equals MC squared.
All the lights flash off and on again dramatically.
It worked, it worked. I'm so excited. Look, Cinderella has a gorgeous new dress.
Oh, no, she hasn't.
Oh, yes, she has.
Oh, no, she hasn't.
Oh. No, she hasn't. Well, that's too bad.
She isn't very good, is she?
I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll transform the pumpkin and the mouse. We'll try the dress again later. Is everyone ready? Stand back now.
Mutton, Cinderella and Scram take a pace or two backwards. Fairy godmother comes forward and places the potato and the mouse together on a table. She holds her wand purposefully in front of her.
Bubble, bubble. Toil and trouble. Hickly pickly. The house is rickety. Izzy wizzy. I'm in a tizzy.
Lights go dim and flash on again dramatically. Fairy godmother looks critically at the potato and the mouse.
Has it worked?
No, nothing's happened.
The potato. It's still a potato.
And the chocolate mouse is still a chocolate mouse. Perhaps we should send for a more experienced fairy.
Certainly not. I went through 7 weeks of training for this. I've watched 16 PowerPoint presentations, all about how to change mice into footmen. We need to try it again. I wonder if I've got the right magic words.
I know the magic words.
Do you really? Well, would you like to try it? If I wave the wand, you could say your magic word, and we'll see what happens. Is everyone ready?
Mutton and Scrum stand back again. Cinderella stands beside the fairy godmother. And the fairy godmother waves her wand as before.
Please!
It worked! It worked! Did you see those flashes? You found the right magic word.
Yes, but despite the admittedly impressive lighting effects, nothing has happened. We still have a potato and a chocolate mouse, and that would look odd on any menu.
Oh dear. Whatever are we to do? I know there's a charity shop around the corner, and I saw a lovely ball gown in the window, so I'll just nip around quick and get it for you.
But what are you going to do about the horse and carriage? There's only one thing you can do, I suppose. You have to use the wheelbarrow.
What?
You heard. What else are you going to do?
I suppose so. Actually, I've just had a light bulb moment. There is one magic trick that I managed to master. And lucky enough, it is turning crocs into glass slippers. However, at 12, they will turn back into crocs. I'm wearing crocs, so Cinderella can borrow them.
The only magic trick that you actually managed to learn, and what a shoddy one at that.
The fairy godmother clips Scrum around the ear.
Ouch! That was uncalled for. It's not my fault that you was out partying with that genie out of who's its lamp.
The fairy clips Scrum around the ear again.
Ouch! Stop it!
You mean Aladdin's lamp? And I was not always out with him partying. He was a hunk of a man. I could have looked into his eyes forever.
Macho, he's gotta be so macho. He's gotta be big and strong enough to turn me on.
Fairy godmother, fairy godmother, wake up, wake up.
What? What? Who? When? Oh, I was having a lovely dream then. What was I saying? Oh yes, I worked hard learning how to be a fairy godmother, I'll have you know.
Oh no you didn't, all you worked hard at was skiving off.
Oh yes I did.
Oh no you didn't.
Oh yes I did.
Oh no you...
Stop it. Stop with your bickering, you're both sounding like Jack and Vera Duckworth. You're meant to be helping me get ready for this ball.
You'd better do what she said because this outburst was tame and you really wouldn't like to see it when she's angry. She even turns green. Like the Hulk, it's scary.
Hey, I heard that. I'm being serious. All I've ever wanted is to go notice and go to these big parties at the palace, and now I've got this chance to go. I've got nothing nice to wear, so I've had to borrow a dress, and I've ended up with a fairy godmother who can't magic her way out of a paper bag.
Charming.
True, though.
If it's the only magic trick you have mastered is turning crocs into gorgeous glass slippers, then it's better than nothing because at least it will take people's minds off this second-hand dress. So please let's go get to it, otherwise we're going to be late.
Come along, Cinderella. You shall go to the ball. Quick, jump in.
Cinderella climbs into the wheelbarrow and fairy godmother pushes her with difficulty while Scrum and Button stand and watch.
It's been a hard day's night, and I've been working like a dog. It's been a hard day's night, I should be sleeping like a log.
Scene 4. The fairy godmother, Scrum and Cinderella are making their way to the ball, with Cinderella in the wheelbarrow and fairy godmother struggling to push her. Fairy Godmother keeps stopping and trying again. Then Scrum tries. Then Fairy Godmother gets into the wheelbarrow herself. Then Cinderella tries to push. Then they eventually give up.
It's no use. We're never going to make it to the ball pushing this wheelbarrow up this road.
I know, right? Poof! And these potholes are a nightmare.
What do you know about pushing this wheelbarrow through these potholes? You've not lifted a paw.
Well, I'm a very fashionable cat. I can't be seen pushing scruffy wheelbarrows around. Besides, I might break a claw, and I've got to keep up appearances.
I can't believe how vain you are. You've turned it around, diva.
Aw, thanks.
It wasn't a compliment.
Oh.
Anyway, how are we going to get out of this board if we can't use the wheelbarrow?
I suppose we'll have to walk.
I know. Why don't we get an Uber? I've got an app on my phone.
Let's travel in style and get an Uber. Executive.
That'll be expensive.
It will be. But it's okay. I will work my magic.
Oh no.
I mean, I'll flirt with the driver and get him to do us a deal. I can be very persuasive when I need to be.
This I need to see.
Same here. Hopefully I can take some pointers.
Enough of the sarcasm, you two.
So, the Uber app has found us a driver and they're on their way 5 minutes away.
Is it an Uber executive?
Sure is.
Oh, fantastic. We're going to turn up at the ball looking like rock stars. RuPaul, eat your heart out.
It will definitely look a lot better than turning up in that wheelbarrow. Looking like you've been dragged for a head backwards.
The Uber turns up and it by all means a very swish car. The Fairy Godmother, Scram and Cinderella are going to be travelling in style. The Fairy Godmother walks over to the driver and starts flirting and fluttering her eyelashes at him. Then, a couple of minutes later, she turns to Scram and Cinderella and gives them a knowing wink and a sly thumbs up. The Fairy Godmother managed to get the driver to give them a hefty discount. It was going to be £150, but it's only going to cost £50. So, whatever the Fairy Godmother did, nudge, nudge, wink, wink, actually worked.
Paradise, put up a parking lot. Hippie Paradise, put up a parking lot. Hippie Paradise, put up a parking lot.
Scene 5. The Queen is in her dressing room, having her ball gown fitted by her personal dressmaker, Fernando, assisted by the Queen's lady-in-waiting, Penelope.
Oh, my Queen, you have chosen the most wonderful colour for your dress. I think turquoise really suits you, my darling, and it makes your eyes pop. You look amazing.
You do flatter me, Fernando.
Can't have our Queen looking a mess now, can we, Penelope?
No, 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 we certainly cannot. I also agree on the colour. It's a beautiful choice. Now we just have to decide which accessories to go with your dress.
Ooh, I think I have just the bag.
The Queen picks up a rather large silver shoulder bag and shows it to Penelope and Fernando.
I like it, but I think it's a bit big.
Oh, I say, I don't think there's such a thing as too big.
No, I mean, I think you would be better off with a small clutch bag.
No, no, not too small. Seriously, though, I don't really think you need a bag because you're the Queen and you're at the palace, so you won't need to buy any drinks and you won't need your phone because you will be mingling with all the guests.
Yes, that makes sense. Thanks for
anything for our Queen, yes, Penelope?
Of course.
I'm looking forward to the ball, but I don't want to let my son find a wife and flee the nest. He's my baby.
He will always be your baby, but you've just got to let him... to let go. It's not like he's disappearing forever.
I suppose you're right, Penelope. It's just so hard.
As the actor said to the bishop.
Oh, you devil, Fernando.
Sorry, my queen. I can't help myself sometimes.
Fernando, please do me a favour. Never change, because you do amuse me.
Sure thing, my queen.
Before, I meant to say that I'm finding it difficult detaching myself from my son.
I think that's the same for every mother.
Yes, my mother was the same with me, but I still spent all my spare time with her. And I found myself a partner, and I fled the nest. I have lunch with my mum most days, and I take off my washing, and she does it all for me still. So knowing the prince, he is also a mummy's boy like me. In a good way. I think whoever he chooses to take his wife will be part of the package.
Ah, oh, thanks, Fernando, for such sound advice. I ought to give you a commendation.
You honour me.
Fernando exaggeratedly bows in front of the Queen, befitting her station.
There's no need for that. Now we're all friends here. We're not in people's ears. Now there isn't any parasites taking photos of us.
Sorry, you lost me now, my Queen.
I think what the Queen is trying to say is that we're not in the public eye and there aren't any paparazzi taking photos of us.
I see.
Penelope is not just my lady-in-waiting, she's also my interpreter, because I often get my words muddled up.
Well, thank goodness for Penelope. I don't know what we would do without her.
I know, right. We have had some extraordinary funny moments when you've got your words mixed up and I have to interpret, haven't we, my queen?
Yes, we have. I cannot be taken anywhere.
Fernando, Penelope and the Queen all laugh together in harmony. Meanwhile, during all of the conversation, Fernando has been working meticulously on the Queen's ball gown. The dress fits like a glove.
Okay, excellent. The dress is finished, my queen. It's time to take a look in the mirror.
Right away. This way, my queen. You are going to be astounded when you see it. You look as radiant as the sun. You look as tranquil as the Caribbean Sea.
I could not agree more.
The queen takes one look in the mirror and turns back to Fernando and Penelope, bearing the biggest smile with happy tears rolling down her face. She embraces Fernando and squeezes him tight, perhaps too tightly. Fernando forces a yelp out.
Oh,
Fernando, you've designed the most beautiful dress in all the land. It's going to keep the hard-ups quiet.
Oh, you are welcome. You are the queen, and you have got to be the lady with all the eyes on you. Now, please, let me go.
My queen, put Fernando down. He's going purple.
Oh, my goodness.
The queen lets go of Fernando. Fernando leans forward and places his hands on his knees and breathes heavily.
I'm so sorry, Fernando. Are you okay? I don't know my own strength.
Oh, yes. I'm good, thanks, my queen. I was thinking about going on a diet, but I don't think I will need to now after you squeezed me so hard. It's like I've lost 14 stone in a day.
You do resemble a pancake now, Fernando. Now I come to think of it.
Lady Penelope. On a serious note, are you totally happy with your ball gown, my queen?
Yes, I am. It's exquisite.
Splendid. I am delighted for you. It is high praise coming from you.
I am that happy with your top-notch workmanship, and I have to say this dress is your piece de resistance. So I would love to offer you a ticket to the ball to thank you.
It would be an honour. I would love to come to the ball.
You best go and get ready, Fernando. It's only 2 hours until the ball. You are relieved of your duties.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. See you at the ball, my queen.
Fernando backs out of the door, bowing, and closes the doors behind him.
You best go and get ready for the ball as well, Penelope.
I am invited to the ball as well. Oh, my, what can I say?
Nothing. Just go and get ready. I want you looking your best.
Yes, I will.
Penelope gallops out of the room singing.
Who knew someone could get so hysterical about going to a ball? Well, I suppose I'd better go and put on my makeup. Otherwise, all the guests will be thinking it's a Halloween party. And anyway, I can't be being overshadowed by Penelope. Oh, no, I can't. Oh, yes, I can. Oh, no, you can't. Oh, please do stop. I'm getting all over. See you all at the bar tonight. Looking fabulous, darlings.
Caviar and cigarettes, well-versed in etiquette, extraordinarily nice. She's a killer queen, gunpowder gelatine, dynamite with a laser beam, guaranteed to blow your mind.
Scene 6. Prince Charming is with his best mate, Hooray Henry, in his extravagant walking wardrobe, getting ready for the ball.
I don't have a clue what to wear tonight. I don't know whether to go low-key but smart, I'll go loud and flamboyant.
Well, I think you should wear that bright pink suit. Because like they say, it's pink to make the girls wink.
Are you sure? Aren't I going to look like a right Wally?
No, definitely not. You've got to stand out to all of the ladies. You could be our future wife.
I'm not sure, but okay. I'll take your word for it. But I remember the last time I took your advice, I wore that cravat and it made me look like a giant sunflower. I was chased by wasps all night and that dog kept trying to wee on me. If your advice backfires this time, I'm going to use you as goalposts for the next time we play polo.
Oh, yeah, sorry about that last time. I honestly thought it was a good outfit. I think you was bombarded by wasps because of the cheap aftershave you bought from the market. Bridget, I never understood because your family is one of the richest in the land. That's why.
That's why we have a lot of money, because we don't throw it around, and money doesn't buy you common sense. What would you do without our butlers?
That's true, I put my trousers on last week. Then went down to breakfast to have I want to have some caviar. Then he said I had my trousers on inside out. Then the wrong way round, and I was like, jolly hockey sticks.
Oh, you plonker henners.
I know, what am I like?
Remember the other week when we were trying to make toast when the kitchen staff had gone home? We put it in the toaster and went to finish our game of croquet in the garden, thinking the toast would take a while, but we left it in too long and it set fire to the kitchen. Luckily, my butler Alfred saved us. Put out the fire in time and save our behinds.
Oh, gosh, yes. Oh, you can't take us anywhere.
I think we're going to need a couple of young ladies at the ball who can look after us and keep us on the straight and narrow. We're going to need to work together, be good chums, and I'll need you to be my wingman to help me find the right one.
Oh, yes, I'll be right there, my old chum.
And I'll need you to keep those wretched, ugly sisters away. Every time we have a ball, they're all over me like a rash.
Yes, okay. I'll take one for the team. I'd turn on the old henna's charm, but I don't like the way they call me Hooray. Why do you think they call me that?
Well, you do have a posh accent.
Do I really? Fancy that. I didn't think I sounded that posh.
Yes, of course you do. You sound even posher than me, which is bonkers, because we both went to Eton together. If you were any more posh, you would be in Downton Abbey. Plus, when we eat out, you always order lobster thermidor.
Oh, blimey, yes.
You always wear a sweater tied round your neck, but Hooray, he's just a label, Henners. At the end of the day, you are a lovely fellow with a heart of gold.
Oh, thanks, my old chum.
The compliment does come with a caveat, though, remember? Your job tonight being top wingman. Keep the ugly sisters away from me. Remember your forfeit. If this bright pink suit backfires...
Of course, I want it like a car bonnet.
I think you should join me and wear the other pink suit, seeing as we're going to be working as a team.
What? You want me to wear the suit too?
Yeah, of course you. Who else I'm talking to?
I'm not sure if pink isn't my colour.
Well, you told me that wearing a pink suit was a good idea and that I wouldn't look a wally. So do you really think that I'm going to look daft?
Yeah, of course I did. Forgive me. I genuinely think we're going to look amazing.
Yes, fantastic. I'm ecstatic that you're going to join me. Let's finish getting ready for the ball and we'll knock him dead.
Deep down, Uri Henry knew that Prince Charming would look daft in the pink suit. But after the prince had tried it on, and then Henry told him that he would look fine, he didn't have the heart to tell him that it wasn't a good idea to wear pink. Now, not only does Prince Charming have to wear his pink suit, but so does Uri Henry. After the prince roped him into wearing matching suits, it's not been a great start to Henry's wingman duties. Let's see how he fares at the ball. Scene 7, Part 1. In the palace's ballroom, the King, Queen, Lady Penelope, Fernando, Prince Charming, Uri Henry, Dandini, and courtiers are standing around, some of them dancing. A herald stands to the right, ready to announce new arrivals. The King and Queen are together at the ball, waiting for all the guests to arrive. The King has randomly decided to wear a pair of goggles.
If all of the kings had their queens on the throne, we would pop champagne and raise a toast.
How is your evening going, my dear wife?
It's going tremendously. But why on this land have you decided to wear your swimming goggles to the ball?
Oh, these things. Well, to cut a long story short, I couldn't find my glasses. I then remembered that I had prescription lenses, swimming goggles. Hence why I decided to wear them.
Oh, you are stupid.
Well, you're the one who keeps telling me to use my initiative. And I thought I have done well thinking outside the box.
I have no words.
I think it matches my outfit.
I don't have a clue how you actually running this land because you literally have no common sense.
I thought I was a good leader.
You leave much to be desired.
Oh, no, I don't.
Oh, yes, you do.
Oh, no, I don't.
Oh, yes, you do.
Oh, no, I don't.
We'll have to agree to disagree anyway. Who has dressed our son?
Why? He looks good. Well, I think he does. It's something I would wear.
Maybe before you met me, you would wear something like that. If you went shopping and came back with that monstrosity, I would actually leave you.
You couldn't leave me. I'm the king.
Just watch me. Anyway, our son looks like Action Man.
Eh? How on earth does he look like Action Man?
Because he's wearing pink. And Action Man's girlfriend is called Cindy.
You mean Barbie and Ken?
Ben? Yeah, that's him. You knew who I meant.
How on this land I know what you're on about. I don't think you know yourself what you're on about sometimes.
Oh, yes, I do.
Oh, no, you don't.
Oh, yes, I do.
Oh, no, you...
Okay, yeah, you win. I knew you would change your mind. You're right, but whatever. I bet it's that mate of this, Hooray Henry, who has told him to wear that horrid suit.
At least they're both wearing matching suits. Hopefully he can find the one.
He looks like a spatchcock pig.
Don't you mean trussed up like a turkey?
Yeah, that's what I was saying. You knew what I was on about.
Give me strength.
Oh, you shouldn't get so annoyed. You're going to give yourself a Cadillac appendix.
I'm going to get another drink.
Scene 7, Part 2. The Baroness, Flora and Fauna enter the ballroom. Flora and Fauna look particularly pleased with themselves, trying to attract attention as they enter, fluttering fans and eyelashes at the men. Her Ladyship, the Baroness Hardup. The Honourable Miss Flora Hardup. The Honourable Miss Fauna Hardup.
What in the heavens are Prince Charming and Hooray Henry wearing? I don't know who told them that they look good.
I know, yes. They look like a pair of marshmallows dressed up as the Pink Panther.
So they do. That's why they need stylish fashionists like us to be their wives, and then we can dress them properly.
Just like Ken dolls.
Exactly.
Let's go to the dance floor. Our song has just come up. I adore this boom, boom, boom music.
Scene 7, Part 3. The Queen, her lady-in-waiting Penelope, and her dressmaker, Fernando, are waiting at the ball to greet the guests.
Who owes you money, my queen?
Pardon?
You said that man will be the debt to you.
Oh, I did, I'm sorry. I meant to say that man will be the debt of me, meaning my daft husband, the king.
Oh, okay, yes, I see. What are you like? Did you hear that, Fernando?
Oh, no, why? What's the gossip?
Nothing much, just the queen getting her words mixed up. Getting me confused.
Confused? Well, that isn't difficult.
Hey, I don't get confused that easily.
Penelope gives Fernando a dig with her elbow.
Ouch, that's up that. Well, you do a little.
Penelope goes to dig Fernando again.
All right, you win. You're like one of them chihuahuas. Anyway, what did the queen get her words mixed up with?
Girl! She said that man will be the debt to her when she really meant to say that a man will be the death of her, meaning the king.
Oh, my queen, you must tell me this most exquisite gossip.
Oh, you know what the king is like. He's in a foul mood to start with because he's still waiting for his winter fuel allowance. It's not arrived and it's all like... Do you know how much it costs to heat up this big drafty palace? With all these windows and big ballrooms. And then he's getting stressed with me because I keep getting in and booking fuddle all the time.
Well, who is responsible for sending out the winter fuel allowance?
A stupid husband. The king, who is meant to be in charge of this land.
Why is he still waiting then?
Goodness knows. Apparently, it's very hard to keep up to date with all this correspondence.
There's no hope. The land is doomed.
Don't be so melodramatic. You're being like one of them footballers. What did you mix up to wind the king up?
Nothing much. I said to him the prince looked like a spatchcock pig. So he corrected me. You mean a trussed-up turkey. So I said you knew what he was on about. He was then getting stressed with me and I said to him, you shouldn't get so annoyed. You're going to give yourself a Cadillac appendix.
What? He's going to get a new cap.
Oh, you know, it's, Penelope, help me out. Something to do with his heart.
Oh, a cardiac arrest. Because he's getting too stressed. He's going to give himself a cardiac arrest.
Oh, yeah. What are we going to do with you?
Luckily, you've got myself and Fernando.
Wow. Hang on a minute. Let's go back a bit. You were saying that the prince looks like a trussed-up turkey in my suit. Shut the front door, he doesn't look that bad.
Seriously, Fernando, you're my fashion expert. And how do you think that suit looks?
Oh, yeah. I think it really brings out his cheekbones and his eyes like oceans. He's just like Ken, if only it was Barbie.
Fernando, snap out of it. The prince is looking for a lady match.
You can't blame a boy for trying.
There's someone out there for you yet, Fernando. There's loads of guests here tonight, so go and get mingling. See you later.
Your Majesty.
Fernando bows to the Queen and goes off to find a suitor.
So, Penelope, what do you think of the printer's horrid pink suit? Do you think I should get him to change?
No. You can't get him to change now. I'll look well suspicious. You're just going to have to pretend that the suit looks good.
Okay, but please be honest. What do you actually think of the suit?
All I will say is that Hooray Henry looks like a Percy Pig and the Prince looks like a thumb.
The Queen holds her thumb up in front of the Prince and then puts it down and repeats it while she weighs up the Prince resembling a thumb.
Once you see it, you can't unsee it.
Very much so.
One thing is for sure, though. After the ball, you need to make sure they don't wear these suits again.
That goes without saying. Anyway, I want you to go and find yourself the one. There's lots of guests here, and one of them has got to be for you.
Oh, thanks, my queen.
Penelope curtsies to the Queen and leaves to find Sir Mr. Darcy. Scene 7, Part 4. Prince Charming and Hooray Henry are at the ball, ready to meet the guests.
Prince Charming! Prince Charming!
Why is everybody staring at us? The ugly sisters are giggling at us. You better not have done a dirty with these suits, because you know what the forfeit is.
Oh, no, I told you we look splendid in these suits. You know, I definitely don't want to be a polo goalpost again.
Well, I hope you're right.
Have I ever been wrong?
Well...
Okay, maybe once or twice. Prince Charming gives Henry a knowing look. Well...
Henners, it's okay, old chap. I'm pulling your leg. Please say what you're going to say.
They'll be staring at us because we look tremendous. And they're thinking... Golly, don't they look hot in these wonderful suits?
Okay, well, explain why the ugly sisters are giggling at us.
They'll be laughing because they are nervous because we look really good. But it doesn't matter what they think because you don't want to court them anyway.
True.
Hooray Henry sounds relieved. Scene 7, Part 5. Flora and Thorna both start the prince around the ballroom, like he's the prey and the sisters are the predators, like tigers in the jungle. Thorna pushing Flora out of the way, and then Thorna pushing in again, each one trying to get to the prince first.
Good evening, Your Highness. Nice to see you again. How is your evening going?
Yes. Did you come far?
Thorna pushes in.
We would come any distance at all to see you, Your Highness. We would travel from the end of the country to see you.
Would even come from the moon.
You've come from the moon?
No, you silly little prince. Do we look as though we come from the moon?
On the whole, yes. I think you do.
No, we've only come a short way. We live about a mile from the palace, just a short bus ride.
Not that we would use a bus. We have our own stagecoach.
Perhaps you'd like to visit us. Do you know... I collect Eeyores. I have the world's largest collection of Eeyores.
The prince tries his hardest to get away.
Really? That's remarkable. I must go and talk to the queen.
Flora grabs the prince's arm, trying to keep him there.
I collect potatoes. Interesting potatoes. I have the world's largest collection of interesting potatoes. I have one which is shaped like a prince, and another which is shaped like a princess.
The prince... desperately tries to get away.
That's fascinating. Why don't you tell my friend Dandini about them? He's very interested in potatoes.
Prince Charming takes Dandini's arm and draws him into the conversation.
Dandini, you must meet these ladies. They both have interesting hobbies.
And do they want to go on a cruise? I have some aborigines here with me.
Of course they do. Do you have a cruise which features potatoes?
Potatoes?
Yes, potatoes. Please keep them busy for me. Give them the hard sell on your best cruise. I'll get Henry to rescue you soon.
What do you mean?
Go on, you'll be fine. You're a lifesaver.
Hello, ladies. Dundee is interrupted by the ugly sister. Then he's got a lot of people to talk to. It's a third time a job being a prince. Flora and Thorn at the exact same time ask Dundee, will he be back? He'll make it back around, I'm sure. So can I interest you two ladies in a cruise?
Sounds lovely. Will a hunk like you be going?
Oh, yeah. 2 weeks stuck on a ship with you, Dan.
My name is Dan.
Dan, we know.
No, it's
Dan. Dan, yes, you've already told us, sweetie.
What's he like, the daft Abus?
Flora squeezes Dandini's bum, which startles him and makes him spit out his drink. Flora then slaps Dundee on the back and makes him jump. Flora and Thorn then grab hold of each of Dundee's arms and give each one a good squeeze.
Oh, hasn't he got big, strong arms?
Oh, yes, he has, Flora.
Scene 7, Part 6. Looks like the sisters are going to eat Dundee for breakfast. Let's wish him luck. Where has Ray Henry disappeared to? Meanwhile, Prince Charming is talking to his mum, the Queen Rosemary.
Prince Charming, how are you, son? Spied in a lady you like yet?
I am terrific, yes. What is the matter with Dad and why is he wearing swimming goggles?
Don't mind your father, he's just being petulant as usual. He has gone to get himself another drink. Hopefully, it will enlighten his mood. As for the goggles, it's just your father being stupid again. He lost his glasses and then he decided to wear his swimming goggles because he had prescription lenses.
Ah, right, I see. I would rather just manage without wearing any eyewear.
Exactly, he's so infuriating.
I better avoid him then.
Good choice. So, have you got your eyes on anyone yet?
Not really, no. It's really frustrating. None of them seem to be my type. There's them sisters over there who are my age, but whenever we have these balls, they're always over me and really pushy. So I've got my cruise agent, Dandina, keeping them occupied for me. When I was getting ready earlier, I told Hennis to keep the sisters busy, but he disappeared and I ended up getting collared by them earlier. So I've had the Dandini to rescue me. He's currently selling them cruises.
Don't get too downhearted, son. The ball has only just begun and we have many more guests to host who are yet to arrive. And if you are already getting an unsettled feeling from the sisters, they aren't right for you, my darling.
Yeah, true. You're right.
Mothers are never wrong. Mothers know best.
I'm definitely not going to argue with you, Mother. It's more than my life's worth.
Too right. One question, though. Who helped you pick that pink suit?
Henners did it. Said it was pink to make the girls wink, and that I needed to stand out.
No way, Henry. I thought as much.
Why? What is wrong with the outfit? I said to Henry, if I wear this suit, I won't look like a right Wally, will I? And he said, no, I'd look good. So, Mother, do you think I look daft?
No, son, you look totally fine. Now stop talking to me. Go grab a drink for Dutch Curd and get mingling. Don't forget we've got more guests coming. There's also an anonymous lady on the guest list who is running a tad late.
Oh, I do hope it's Margot Robbie out of the recent Barbie movie with Ryan Gosling as Ken.
You never know, you are the heir to the land, and you do resemble that duckling fella who plays Ben today in your pink suit.
Mother, it is Gosling, and he plays Ken.
That's what I said.
We didn't, but...
Well, we can't all be as quick as you young fellas. Now get gone, find a nice young lady to court.
Okay, well, thanks for the pep talk.
Go on, shoot.
Okay, I'm going. I need to go anyway and rescue Dandini from the sisters because he's going to get eaten alive.
Scene 7, Part 7. Harold breaks off. Cinderella appears, joined by the fairy godmother, and the herald whispers to Cinderella to find out her name. The honourable lady with no name. Cinderella walks on into the ballroom. Everyone starts muttering, wondering who the lady with no name could be. The prince looks towards Cinderella. The Cinderella looks towards the prince. Very slowly, Prince and Cinderella walk towards each other, arms held out in front as they're about to embrace. Just as they're about to meet, the prince walks straight past Cinderella, missing her, and keeps on walking towards the fairy godmother. Scram stands back, looking in amazement. Prince Charming exclaims fervently to the fairy godmother, still with arms ready to embrace.
My angel, never have seen such a fair face. You are the answer to my prayers, the subject of my dreams, the object of my desires.
You what? What are you talking about?
Come to my arms, never shall I let you go.
The clock strikes midnight. All stop in silence, listening to it.
It's midnight. I have to go now.
Go? Why?
Well, nice girls don't stay out after midnight.
Stay. Never shall I forgive myself if I don't make you mine. You beauty brings a ray of sunshine into the darkest room. To gaze into your eyes brings joy such as few men have imagined. Stay, I implore you.
No, my wheelbarrow is waiting.
Prince Charming tries to put his arms around the fairy godmother.
Oh no, no you don't. I'm a respectable lady. I'm married 7 times. Keep off.
The fairy godmother rushes off in haste, followed by Scram. Prince Charming stares after her as if he's in a trance.
Follow her! Follow her! Don't let her leave the palace! She must be found! I cannot live without the sight of her sweet eyes, her honeyed lips.
The herald rushes off after the fairy godmother, with Dandini in tow.
How was the beautiful lady in red, the joy of my life, being brutally snatched from me in the very moment of rapture? How can I live without her? How can I endure another meaningless minute of my futile existence unless she is restored to my arms?
The herald holds the fairy godmother's shoe. Dandini holds an embroidered cushion.
My prince, your highness, she has vanished like the Scarlet of Pimpernel.
Vanished? That's not possible.
In her flight, she left just the one thing. Bring it forward.
The herald holds out the fairy godmother's shoe. The prince takes hold of it and holds it rapturously.
Her slipper! Her glass slipper.
Well, it's not actually a slipper. It's not exactly glass, but in all other respects, yes, it is a glass slipper.
What a dainty foot. Size 12. How perfectly proportioned. Let the lady be proclaimed throughout the kingdom. The lady whose foot fits this shoe, I swear I will marry. Begin the search without delay.
Scene 8. Dandini holding the shoe, followed by the Prince, Uray Henry, the King Theobald, and other courtiers are all on the hunt for the elusive, beautiful lady in red. The joy of the prince's life. Prince Jorin starts singing Lady in Red by Christy Berg.
Lady in red is dancing with me. Cheek to cheek. There's nobody here.
Scene 9. We are now back at the Hardup's house. The day after the night before at the ball. Cinderella rushes around like the Wailing Dervish carrying things, followed by the Baroness, Flora and Fauna.
My dears, that was quite a ball last night. You were both looking irresistible.
It's no good looking irresistible if the prince doesn't notice.
I don't think the prince is very good looking. If he doesn't want to dance with me, I don't want to dance with him either.
Who was that lady with no name?
It doesn't really matter, does it? No name, no title, no prospects. The prince didn't even look at her.
They say the prince has sworn to marry the lady who dropped her shoe.
I'm not surprised. She was... unique.
Flora, Fauna and Cinderella all stop and look around in amazement.
You young people cannot see beneath the surface. Beauty is only skin deep.
If she had any beauty, it was very deep indeed.
Button rushes in with excitement.
Your ladyship, the prince is on his way here. He and his household are visiting every house on the street.
The prince?
Does he have the shoe?
I know that the shoe will fit my foot. My foot is so slender and it has to fit perfectly.
Your toes are too large. It's obviously mine.
Your corns will get in the way.
Girls, girls, you must keep calm if you wish to marry the prince. You will need to look beautiful and serene, as well as having perfectly shaped feet. Why don't you go and make yourselves look gorgeous?
Flora and Thornet shriek excitedly and rush off. There is a loud knock at the door.
Button, answer the door, if you please.
The Baroness addresses the audience, sensing that they think she's ridiculous, but thinking she has a chance with the prince.
What's the matter with you? The prince may be attracted to an older woman, one with experience and charm and elegance.
However, it isn't the prince at the door, it's actually the fairy godmother, who bursts through the door as they enter it, and followed more slowly by Scram, who saunters in, as if he's in no hurry at all. Fairy godmother limps, as she's only wearing one shoe.
Help, please, give us refuge. We've been pursued all over town by the prince and his men. We have nowhere to hide.
Why are you being pursued, a respectable lady like you?
It's the prince. He wants to marry me.
Well, I don't know why you're complaining. Why are you limping?
I've only got one shoe. The prince has got the other one. I dropped it at the palace last night.
I'm limping too. My paws are torn to shreds.
Who are you?
I'm Gladys. Look. There's no time to waste. Do you have a spare cupboard? A cellar? A garden shed? Anywhere to hide?
Button? Do we?
There's a little space in the fridge.
I don't want to die of cold.
Why don't you hide behind the chair? I'll find a blanket or two to throw over you. The prince will never see you there.
At last. Someone with some sense. Thank you, my dear.
Cinderella goes to fetch a couple of blankets.
Shall I hide with you?
I don't think you're in so much danger. The prince has not expressed an interest in marrying a cat.
Cinderella returns carrying a blanket or two. The fairy godmother crouches behind a chair, and Cinderella throws the blankets over her, which nearly conceal her. There is a loud knocking at the door.
Mummy, it's the prince at the door with lots of attendants.
He's looking for the girl.
He's looking for the girl he wants to marry.
Button the door, if you please.
There is a tense silence. The Baroness, Flora, Thorlet, Cinderella and Scram and Button stand still, staring towards the door. Then the king enters, followed by the prince, Dandini, the herald and some courtiers. Button also appears behind everyone else as he closes the door. Baroness, Flora and Thorlet and Cinderella kneel to the king.
At ease, everybody. Don't worry. This is just an informal visit. You may all stand or sit. Or slouch.
Your Majesty. Your Highness. We are so honoured to welcome you to our humble home. Your Majesty, would you like a seat?
The Baroness ushers the king to a chair and fusses over him. Until he is sitting down.
Pardon my intrusion. I'd like to ask all the young ladies in the house to try on this slipper. Dandini!
Dandini steps forward, holding the shoe on a cushion.
The glass slipper.
Exactly. The glass slipper.
Oh, Your Highness, please let me try it on. Or would you like to see my collection of Eeyores?
How kind! Possibly not at the moment.
Your Highness, I could show you my collection of potatoes. My collection is unrivalled in the whole country, possibly in the world. I could show you a potato that looks exactly like a shoe.
Prince Charming answers insincerely.
I'm very impressed. Could I ask you to try on this shoe?
Dandini comes forward. Flora sits on a chair. Dandini helps her to try on the shoe. That is a drum roll, which reaches a climax as the foot goes into the shoe. No, it doesn't fit.
Go on. My foot will get in there. Just one more push.
No, it's no good. Surprising, really. Do you think it would be a generous fit?
Can we try the other lady?
Thorna sits, preening herself. Dandini tries the shoe on her. Drum roll as before, but again, no success.
I'm sure it fits. I'm certain this is my shoe. I bought it in Selfridges.
There is one other young lady here.
Yes, but that's Cinderella. You don't want Cinderella to try on the shoe.
Cinderella wasn't at the ball last night.
Oh, wasn't she?
Oh, yes, she was.
Oh, no, she wasn't.
Cinderella, please, will you try the shoe?
Cinderella sits. Dandini tries the shoe on her. Drum roll, same as before. Yes, the crack fits. This is the elusive and beautiful lady in red. The joy of your life, my prince.
Her foot may fit in the crock, but if it fits properly, why did it fall off? So there's no way it's Cinder's.
The slipper actually fell off because it actually belonged to the fairy godmother who had lent it to Cinder's and magically turned into a glass slipper for the ball the night before. Although the crock slash slipper would only fit Cinder's if it wasn't in sport mode. Hence why it fell off when she was flinging the ball. Before the clock struck 12.
That's very odd. If it's not Cinderella's crock, then whose foot does it fit? I had a strange feeling when I came into the house.
Not odd at all. Lots of people have strange feelings when they enter this house.
I was convinced that this house was my destiny. That young lady here would be the one. Would be my angel, my chosen one. Is there no other young lady in the house?
No. No one at all.
Oh, yes, there is.
Oh, no, there isn't.
Oh, yes, there is.
No, there isn't.
Then I will continue my search elsewhere. Come.
Prince Charming starts to leave with the king, Dandini and courtiers following behind. As he goes, he passes behind the chair where the fairy godmother is hidden. He trips over her and falls.
What's happened? Who is this?
The prince goes to the fairy godmother and pulls off one blanket. Then he pulls off the other. He gazes at the fairy godmother. Prince Charming is in a daze as she rises slowly to her feet.
Who are you?
My name's Gladys.
Gladys? That name surely means angel. You are the most beautiful person I've ever seen. You are an angel walking upon the earth to brighten a humble prince's feeble existence. You are poetry in motion. You are a cinema. I could watch you forever. You are loved, personified. You are Cleopatra. You are Marilyn Monroe. You are Brigitte Bardot. You are Kendall Jenner. You are Gigi Hadid.
Hey, steady on. Are your intentions strictly honourable?
Of course they are.
Oh, we're wasting our time then.
Would you do me the greatest favour and try on this shoe?
Well, if you insist.
Very good, brother, sits. Dandini tries the shoe on her foot. Drum roll again, reaching an even bigger climax. Yes, it fits.
It fits! It fits perfectly!
And look, it's a perfect match for the other foot.
Amazing!
Well, at least I can stop limping now.
Gladys, my angel, light of my life, will you do the inestimable honour of becoming my wife?
I don't know. Well, it must be better than going down to the job centre again. Go on, then. Yes. I'll marry you.
You'll never regret it. I shall make you the happiest woman in the land.
I'm not too sure about that.
Allow me to give you two love birth my royal blessing.
Meanwhile, Hooray Henry has been staring lovingly across the room at Flora since he entered the Hardup's house. Ever since the bar last night, I've been dreaming of this young lady that Flora's dancing with all night. Henry approaches the Lady Flora and takes her hand. Flora, do you remember all of our dances last night? I never thought we would dance on the same floor again.
You were in a different league.
You still are.
Henry.
Flora, if you are a lonely lady, then no. I am a lonely man. Shall I continue swiping right on Tinder? A lovely young lady with a good sense of humour, who enjoys visiting National Trust properties, interested in friendship, or maybe more. Or will you become my wife?
Oh, Henry.
Hey, Flora. Hooray Henry takes Flora into his arms and sweeps her off her feet. They start to kiss.
Oh, get a room.
Hooray Henry places Flora back down and turns towards the Baroness, asking for Flora's hand in marriage. As an honourable man, I must first ask your mother for her consent. Baroness, do I have your blessing? Do I ask your daughter for her hand?
A hand? Oh, yes, she certainly can. You've made me the happiest mother-in-law in the land. Have any part you like.
As this is proving to be such a happy occasion, I wonder if I too might reveal my secret passion. Since I danced with her at the ball last night, I have been smitten an all-consuming passion to the Honourable Father Hardup.
Oh, Dan, you naughty man.
I must approach your mother for her consent. Baroness, do I have your blessing if I ask your daughter for your hand?
Her hand? of course. Her hands, her feet, take Fauna and sweep her off her feet. I was the happiest mother-in-law in the land. Now I'm the happiest mother-in-law in the entire world.
What about me?
You were never my daughter.
Oh, Dan, I can show you all my Eeyores. You can view the entire collection.
There are so many treats in store for us.
And that means that Flora and me are about to be married. The only person left out is boring old Cinderella. Cinderella, does nobody love you at all?
Aww. I'm afraid not. I'll just have to keep cleaning the house for you and doing the ironing and the cooking and washing up and everything else, just like I always have.
Wait, Cinderella, things aren't as bad as that. Would you consider joining me, the narrator?
The narrator?
I am the narrator right here, standing right before your very eyes.
I have wondered who you were, lurking in the background all throughout this charade, and it was you all along, my dream man. All my prayers have been answered.
I've been watching you from afar for a while now. And never in my wildest dreams did I think I would ever get the chance to be in the presence of such beauty.
Aw, thanks. You know my name, but I don't know yours.
You're welcome. It's only true. And the name's Noel, narrator Noel. But there's still one question I need to ask. Will you take my hand in marriage? And I know I don't need to ask your horrible Baroness stepmother, who said you'd never been her daughter.
Yes, of course I will. You'll be my Romeo and I'll be your Juliet. As long as you can take me away from this town somewhere, we can go alone, away from my nasty stepmother and stepsisters. You'll be my prince and I'll be your princess.
Of course, you don't have to live here anymore. You can move in with me.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. You have made me the happiest girl ever. Good riddance, stepmother and stepsisters. See you around. What comes around, goes around. Marry me, Juliet. You never have to be alone. I love you and that's all I really know. I talk to your dad, go pick out a white dress. It's a love story, baby, just say yes.
Oh no, what about me? You can't leave me here with these horrid people. Please, please, please take me with you.
Can we please take Button with us now? He is my dearest friend.
Of course. We can, and Button can have a huge promotion as the head of my household staff with immediate effect.
Yes, get in, come on.
Well, that leaves just me on my own. I'll just have to go back to my cooking. Strawberry mouse, vanilla mouse, sardine and salmon flavoured mouse.
Listen, everybody, if we are going to be married, we can arrange to go on a honeymoon together.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Oh, Dan, you clever man. Our first holiday together, Mr. and Mrs.
Well, better get back to work as the narrator. I've got a wedding to pay for.
I do hope the narrator isn't going to be following us around the ship with that clipboard reading a script like we are made in Chelsea.
You won't have to worry about that because I won't be narrating until next Christmas. When I'll be narrating Aladdin.
Thank goodness.
Well, thanks. No offence taken. Did you do a job to the best of your abilities? Then this is the thanks you get. Charming. I'm going on strike.
Yes. Did someone say my name?
No. He was talking to me.
I don't understand.
Give me strength. You've got to inherit this land and succeed me.
I'll do a great job.
You sure will, son. So, Dandini, where could we go on holiday?
I could arrange a cruise, especially for all of us.
Oh, no, not a boat. I can't swim, and I have seasickness.
I can book us all on one of the giant cruise ships and get you a cabin in the middle of the ship.
where you want, even though that you are sailing.
Okay.
And where will we go on this cruise? Absolutely everywhere. It'll be around the world a cruise.
How long will it take?
Months and months. Maybe even a year. We'll be gone ever such a longer time. In fact, who cares if we ever come back?
I'm coming too. I'm taking charge of the cooking. Mouse Arca for every meal.
Oh, no!
Thanks for listening to the pantomime today. I hope you really enjoyed it. And I hope it brought some Christmas cheer and get you ready for Christmas. So I wish you all the best and, hope you have a good Christmas and a great new year. And we'll be back with the next Monsterdam podcast. So, take care, guys. Have a good one. See you later.
Kaka!
Good deal. You now listen to the sounds of JT on Bounce FM.
Oh yeah.
Never to be forgotten, forever associated with Bounce FM. Love you, mate. Bounce FM, we're into your ears. Bounce FM.